The buzz from the hunters was one of admiration at this handsome behaviour. Clearly they were of the opinion that Jack had done the decent thing, had put himself in the right by his generous apology, and Ralph obscurely in the wrong. They waited for an appropriately decent answer. Yet Ralph's throat refused to pass one. He resented as an addition to Jack's misbehaviour this verbal trick. The fire was dead, the ship was gone. Could they not see? Anger instead of decency passed his throat. That was a dirty trick. They were silent on the mountain top, while the opaque look appeared in Jack's eyes and passed away. Ralph's final word was an ungracious mutter. All right. Light the fire. With some positive action before them, a little of the tension died. Ralph said no more, did nothing, stood looking down at the ashes round his feet. Jack was loud and active. He gave orders, sang, whistled, threw remarks at the silent Ralph, remarks that did not need an answer and therefore could not invite a snub. And still Ralph was silent. No one, not even Jack, would ask him to move, and in the end they had to build the fire 3 yards away, and in a place not really as convenient. So Ralph asserted his chieftainship, and could not have chosen a better way if he had thought for days. Against this weapon so indefinable and so effective, Jack was powerless and raged without knowing why. By the time the pile was built, they were on different sides of a high barrier. When they had dealt with the fire, another crisis arose. Jack had no means of lighting it. Then, to his surprise, Ralph went to Piggy and took the glasses from him. Not even Ralph knew how a link between him and Jack had been snapped and fastened elsewhere. "I'll bring 'em back. I'll come too." Piggy stood behind him, islanded in a sea of meaningless colour, while Ralph knelt and focused the glossy spot. Instantly the fire was alight, Piggy held out his hands and grabbed the glasses back. Before these fantastically attractive flowers of violet and red and yellow, unkindness melted away. They became a circle of boys round a campfire, and even Piggy and Ralph were half drawn in. Soon some of the boys were rushing down the slope for more wood, while Jack hacked the pig. They tried holding the whole carcass on a stake over the fire, but the steak burnt more quickly than the pig roasted. In the end, they skewered bits of meat on branches and held them in the flames, and even then almost as much boy was roasted as meat. Ralph dribbled. He meant to refuse meat, but his past diet of fruit and nuts with an odd crab or fish gave him too little resistance. He accepted a piece of half-raw meat and gnawed it like a wolf. Piggy spoke, also dribbling. "Aren't I having none?" Jack had meant to leave him in doubt as an assertion of power, but Piggy, by advertising his omission, made more cruelty necessary. "You didn't hunt." "No more did Ralph," said Piggy wetly, "nor Simon." He amplified. "There isn't more than an apoth of meat in a crab." Ralph stirred uneasily. Simon, sitting between the twins and Piggy, wiped his mouth and shoved his piece of meat over the rocks to Piggy, who grabbed it. The twins giggled, and Simon lowered his face in shame. Then Jack leapt to his feet, slashed off a great hunk of meat, and flung it down at Simon's feet. "Eat, damn you!" He glared at Simon. "Take it!" He spun on his heel, centre of a bewildered circle of boys. "I got you meat!" Numberless and inexpressible frustrations combined to make his rage elemental and awe-inspiring. "I painted my face. I stole up. Now you eat, all of you. And I..." Slowly the silence on the mountain top deepened till the click of the fire and the soft hiss of roasting meat could be heard clearly. Jack looked round for understanding, but found only respect. Ralph stood among the ashes of the signal fire, his hands full of meat, saying nothing. Then at last Morris broke the silence. He changed the subject to the only one that could bring the majority of them together. "Where did you find the pig?" Roger pointed down the unfriendly side. "They were there, by the sea." Jack, recovering, could not bear to have his story told. He broke in quickly. We spread round. I crept on hands and knees. The spears fell out because they hadn't barbs on. The pig ran away and made an awful noise. It turned back and ran into the circle, bleeding. All the boys were talking at once, relieved and excited. We closed in. The first blow had paralysed its hindquarters, so then the circle could close in and beat and beat. I cut the pig's throat. The twins, still sharing their identical grin, jumped up and ran round each other. Then the rest joined in, making pig-dying noises and shouting, "One for his knob! Give him a fourpenny one!" Then Morris pretended to be the pig and ran squealing into the centre, and the hunters, circling still, pretended to beat him. As they danced, they sang, "Kill the pig, cut her throat, bash her in." Ralph watched them, envious and resentful. Not till they flagged and the chant died away did he speak. "I'm calling an assembly." One by one they halted and stood watching him. "With the conch, I'm calling a meeting, even if we have to go on into the dark, down on the platform, when I blow it, now." He turned away and walked off down the mountain.